the owl asks who, the answer is always him. It's time for the most interesting man in the world, Fish Talk with the Duck.
That's right, kids. Time for a little fish talk. We call him the Doc here at Outdoor Journal. His name is Gord Peiser. He is the award-winning editor, and he is a fishing editor for Outdoor Canada magazine. A prolific blogger, writer, outdoorsman extraordinaire. Good morning, Gordy.
Good morning, Ange.
Boy, what a difference a week makes.
Incredible, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Just coming into work this morning was like being in a on a movie set. Just nuts.
You know, and it's very similar up here. I went fishing on earlier in the week, Monday or Tuesday. I forget which day now. And I didn't see a car for probably the better part of an hour driving north from Kenora.
Wow. Wow. We were just talking to Gussie. He just got back a couple of days ago. Back to Kenora, and he's looking forward to getting out on the ice, being there all by himself.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
Yeah, for him, it's quite a departure from where he was at the Bassmaster Classic just days ago.
Exactly.
And now with the closures, of course, he's got a bit of time on his hands.
Yeah.
So how are we coping up there, my friend?
You know, it's kind of both a good news, bad news story, Ange, in the north. Obviously with smaller population, I presume the risk is a little bit less, but at the same time, the resources probably aren't as great as in some of the hospitals to the south. Right across the street, a good friend of mine is a doctor here at the hotel or at the hospital, and he's also the anesthesiologist. And we have 7 respirators in Kenora.
Wow!
But you know what? I saw in Prince George they have 14, and the other thing a lot of folks don't realize is most of our hospitals in North America run at about 80-85% occupancy. So if there are 7 ventilators, and normally on any given day, probably 5 of them are in use. So, you know, you get 15, 20 emergency patients now requiring them. The question is, which 2 get the last 2?
Yeah, those are going to be awful decisions if we have to come down to that, aren't they?
And you know what bothers me, Ange? My wife has autoimmune disease, so we are taking this really, really seriously. And so you go on television and you see those guys in Miami Beach, and the problem is, if you read the Globe and Mail that feature the other day, they said, the doctor said, you know, if somebody comes in and they're 35 and you or your wife come in and you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, the 35 gets the ventilator. You go home and you're on your own. And yet that's the guy out on the beach partying.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. It's true. Yeah. Good point. That's a very interesting perspective for sure.
Yeah.
I was going to say, hopefully we won't get to that point, but, you know, reality is it is what it is.
And you see, in Italy right now, I saw yesterday, almost 10% of the new cases are the doctors.
Yeah. Yeah, I read that as well. Craziness.
Frightening.
Craziness. Let's talk about some good stuff, shall we?
Here's something. Ever thought this would happen? Well, Liam and I are going fishing right after the show, and he's driving over, and he's going to follow me. He's not going to sit in the front seat beside me. He's going to follow me to the lake we're going to today. And, you know, when you're out on the ice, social distancing's really easy. Yep. And, you know, we're fishing different holes, and you're close enough that you can talk and still have a good time, but I never thought I would ever see the day when my grandson's driving his truck behind mine to go fishing.
Wow. Talk about executing the plan. Hats off to you, man. That's fantastic.
We're doing it anyway.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. So we're going to park, and, you know, once he's on his snow machine and I'm on mine and he can drill all the holes, you know, and you're outside and you're 6 feet apart. So I can't think of a better way. If you are going to social distance, that's probably the best way to do it.
anybody listening that says, you know, oh, yeah, it's really hard to do, you know, just focus on what Gord is doing today. They're in the middle of nowhere. Him and Liam are going to be in the middle of nowhere, but yet they're practicing social distancing.
And they're fishing two different spots, right, because they're 6 feet away.
Isn't that great? Good for you, man. Good
Talk
for you.
Talk about running and gunning on the ice, right?
No kidding. What are you fishing for?
We're fishing for northern sand. It's been spectacular, I have to say that. We went back out again last Sunday, and we popped another one in that 40, 42-inch range, a 20, 22, 23-pounder. So we're still trying to crack a 30. I've got one in my life. Actually, we've got two, but I landed one 52-incher about 8-9 years ago. Got it on in Fisherman Television in the States. So we're really trying hard to crack a 30-pound fish this year, but that's a lot easier said than done.
What do you use tackle-wise to do that? What are you fishing with in terms of line, rod, reel, all that stuff?
Yeah, 100% tip-ups and 100% dead baits. A dead bait is so much better than a live one. So we're using, if folks go to St. Lawrence Market or go to the grocery store and they see the frozen herring, I mean, they sell them. I buy the same ones that people buy to eat. And they probably average 6-7 inches in size. And we're using both quick strike rigs and number 5 5-aught circle hooks. And using tip-up lines and braided line, so in that 35 to 50-pound test, and very, very, very thin Micron Supreme, very, very thin tieable stainless steel leaders. So, and then you set them down in shallow water close to where you presume they're coming in to spawn, and that dead bait just hanging there, there is nothing that compares to it.
Is that bait on the bottom?
Ange, if you're fishing shallow, my rule is about 7-8 feet. If you're fishing shallower than or in that 7-8 feet range, absolutely down on the bottom, maybe a foot off. And then if you get out a little bit deeper, we tend to go out to about 12 to 14 feet. Then we'll lift them up about 3 feet off the bottom, 4 feet off the bottom, give the fish something they can silhouette against. And, you know, you'll sit around a campfire, you keep looking out, we drill many holes and we'll rotate every 15, 20 minutes. And when you see that flag go off, you know, it's really exciting because you don't know if it's an 8-pounder, 18-pounder, or 28-pounder.
I can't even imagine, a 15 to 20-pound northern on the end of a tip-up through the ice.
It is so much fun hand-lining them. It's just screaming between your fingers. But the most exciting thing, Ange, is when you bring it up the hole, the first time that head comes through the hole, you would swear it's an alligator or a crocodile coming out.
Because it's got to fill the hole right up, right? A fish that big?
In fact, we our standard course of action now is to drill two holes, so we overlap them. I actually like the 8-inch auger better than the 10. So we'll drill two 8-inch holes, but overlap them. So in effect, you've got a 16-inch by 8-inch hole, and it makes it easier. We've actually had a couple over the years where we almost couldn't get them up an 8 to 10-inch hole. So we've gone standard course of action now, two holes side by side. And as I say, when you pull them up, you would swear it's a crocodile coming up onto the ice.
Wow, some of those pictures I've seen, I mean, that's got to be exciting. Gordon, what's the success rate on releasing those big fish through the ice?
100%, and it's absolutely amazing. It's called a quick strike rig, and that means you go really, really quickly if you're using the standard. And we're using, if you still use the older method, number 4 and number 6 trebles, so two trebles. But you put one by the dorsal fin right in the center and the other by the tail, and I like hanging them down. So when the fish takes it, it actually has the first hook by its lips. And then if you set quickly, I've honestly never had one take it really, really deeply. They would if you let them run. If you're using circle hooks, on the other hand, you do let them run. And so with a circle hook, you let it run, and then you slowly start pulling back, and it hooks every one end right on the corner of the back, of the lip, if you will. And release is so easy, and you put them in the hole, and that big tail just flaps and splashes, and away she swims.
Wow, fantastic, man. You guys got it happening up there for sure. Those pictures, keep them coming, by the way.
I will. I'll let you know next week how we make out.
Where can folks get a hold of some of your blogs?
OutdoorCanada.ca. And I got a great one, Ange, coming up shortly on the Northern Ontario, Go Fish in Ontario. And it's on burbot, how to target them specifically.
Nice. We look forward to it, my friend. You stay safe. Say hello to Liam for us. Have a great time out in the ice.
Thanks, guys. And you stay safe, too.
We will. Gord Pizer, the doc, Outdoor Canada Magazine, Canada's most prolific outdoor blogger and outdoorsman extraordinaire. If you don't follow him, shame on you. Go to outdoorcanada.ca, check him out, and change all of that. Stephen, we did it.
Yes.
We did it.
Yes.
That's all I can say.
Put that mask on and let's go home.
Hopefully we'll do it again next week.
Yes, for sure.
All right. I want to thank everybody here on the crew that helped us through this. Stephen Labadie behind the glass. Derek Randeo at the fan. John Winters, our producer. On behalf of that whole team, I'm Angelo Viola saying have a great, safe weekend, folks. Enjoy the outdoors. Talk to you next week.